Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Play catch with each other and use that time on game day to try to restore some chemistry and rapport that they had before Pickens went out with the injury in stadium before the game.
Nope.
It's a two-pronged problem here. It's Pickens has to obviously take personal accountability for his behavior, that here is a guy that is up for a new contract very soon, who has the talent to be a great receiver, but doesn't seem like he has the inner drive and the desire to really be that guy by fluffing off stuff like this and having, I would say, mediocre traits as far as getting himself ready or being ready. And the coach for enabling it, the coach for allowing it. In a situation like this, I get it. It's desperate. They need to win to keep their hopes alive of winning the division.
No accountability,
but
though.
Just
none. There's no consequences, period. End of story. Not only that, on a day where the guy shows up late, reportedly, according to Mike's story, and you have to just wing it on the inactives, when he runs a route that gets criticized or doesn't really run a route, you decide to throw it on the quarterback instead. You're the only prominent person involved with the team who definitively blames the quarterback. The offensive coordinator hints at his annoyance with the wide receiver. The quarterback speaks of basically thinking the receiver was going to go elsewhere on that play. Doesn't crush him, but doesn't absolve him. But you, the chief guy in charge, are the ones saying, nah, I don't really think you're barking up the wrong tree to go after Pickens there. Russ can't throw that ball or whatever.
It's just unprofessional behavior by Pickens across the board. And there doesn't appear to be any checks and balances to it. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. This is the price you will pay. One time in a game, and that was the Dallas game, did there seem to be some consequences for his pouting and mercurial behavior. And Mike then had to lie about it and say, well, part of sports and football in this day and age is load management, which was a load of BS. Because after that game, his snap count went back to where it was before that game and where it was before this season.
He just could not possibly admit, because I think to him, admitting that he benched the guy because he was pissed off at him would be admitting that some of the critics out there were right, that he needed to discipline him. And then I think one time you have actually heard Mike, through his media pulpit, actually call out Pickens and essentially say he needs to grow up, and that happened one time.
It's a microcosm of the way things have unraveled here, the Pickens saga. If they were winning a lot, and this was a subplot to it all, if we were in Philadelphia right now when we were debating whether or not it's appropriate or not for A.J. Brown to read a book on the sideline during a game, and they're winning playoff games by double digits, and they had a 10-game winning streak, that would be one thing. Whether or not that's a valid discussion and a legitimate thing to be debating and arguing over, is this the kind of behavior you want from a star player?
Mm-hmm.
They're winning, so it kind of the whole tone of the conversation should be different, because
it's almost flippant in a way, because it doesn't matter. They won, and they won going away.
I mean, even in retrospect, Antonio Brown going on Facebook Live right after the Chiefs playoff win that I was up in arms about and not happy with, because again, it showed a complete lack of respect. Or
you'd kill for those problems today.
Exactly. They were going to the AFC Championship game. I yearn for the days of Todd Haley getting body slammed after a playoff win at on a North Shore bar, or Joey Porter trying to beat somebody up on East Carson Street after a playoff win.
Well, that's Andrew Filippone saying that second one. I just want to. Mueller isn't saying
those
that.
Seem like those types of
those are quaint problems.
Those types of melodramas seem to be that those were the halcyon days of Tomlin's like post 2010 Steelers coaching career. Now we've got that BS, and you can't rationalize it with they always win. Mike has a lot of headaches. There's always a bottle of Advil nearby. But they overcome it somehow, some way.
Like, what's the old classic light beer tagline, great taste, less filling? For them, it's like bad taste, more filling. You're just going to feel awful after you have this one. Like, we're the Steelers. All the things that made this tolerable are now no longer happening, but everything else is worse,
and
too.
And again, I'm going to go back to Rooney on this, where George does routinely, almost weekly, things that give the coach and really the team writ large a black eye. Trying to pick a fight on the last play of the game in Cleveland and not trying to win a game. Putting eye black on that says always effing open on national TV. Not running the right route. Getting in fights with people during games. It's just dropping three balls and then trying to go after fans. How does the owner of the team not put that back on the coach and say, get your guys in line? You keep selling me on the idea that we could be this halfway house for troubled souls where a guy might have a reputation in college that he's a distraction and he's a diva and he's a lot to deal with, but you can get him in our infrastructure, in our culture, and you can get his head screwed on straight.
When's the last time that worked?
Good question. Or the opposite happens, where a guy like Chase Claypool has a reputation for being a team-first guy. Then he sees how the wide receivers who were here before him act and conduct themselves, and he gets, like, infected with that wide receiver me-first disease.
He was on his draft profile about Claypool. Like, it was prominent enough thing that it got mentioned. What a high character guy he was for the position. And then he was, I believe, filmed in a parking lot, kicking somebody in a parking lot fight, not seemingly a favorite of his teammates, and then gone. So, like, now what with George Pickens?
Donnie, what's your reaction to this story?
I just don't know how. Well, first, we got to credit Benzie for completely catching Mike.
Oh, man, it's like a punch. It's like, you ever see when Manny Pacquiao got knocked out cold at the bell in one of his big fights?
I don't understand how Mike could be caught flat-footed on this. I don't understand how he didn't.
Do you think
that was another good point that you brought up? Like, normally their PR is very on top of things.
Do you think that they briefed him for it and then nobody asked it right off the top and he almost forgot about it?
I don't know.
I think Mike's savvier than that.
Yeah, he's way too good when he's up there that he would like almost wait for that the whole time.
Right. I mean, he clearly sounded like he had no idea. You are right.
And then when he did talk about it, he sounded like an idiot when he answered the question. Like, there is no
That's
possible
a few days
way,
back.
No possible way that a head coach of a football team would not know that one of his best players was not in the building.
He plays dumb on Pickens all the time. He pleads ignorance.
Aditi pointed out by just getting the question and answer in a screen cap. She writes, with most NFL teams, the head of security or operations is responsible for cluing in a head coach if a player isn't in the stadium. One would think someone would notify the head coach as he's filling out his inactives that his wide receiver one isn't in the building, right?
Based on the way the story was discovered, uncovered, and then broken down by DeFabo, it made it absolutely sound like the coach had like sent out like a henchman to find him and get him in the stadium. It just shows a complete lack of and on Pickens' part
professionalism. But
yearning to be great. You've been out of the lineup for so long. It's a huge game against the team that everybody in the NFL measures itself up against.
With a captive audience, so if you're going to ball out, then that's the time to do
it. And your ass, I would think I'd want to be there 5 hours before the game.
I'd be there
the
with bells on if I were Pickens, saying, get me the ball 15 times, we're going to shock the world, all that
I'm
stuff.
I'm back, and I'm going to be the reason why we turn this thing around and we win today.
Like when Randy Moss went to Dallas his rookie year after they passed on him 3 for 163 or whatever and 3 touchdowns, like that would be the time for him.
Yeah, he went up to those guys after the game and basically said, come get me. Well, how about you go out there and you put on tape or reason for the Chiefs to go do that this
offseason, buddy? I got to be honest. Him coming and saying that, I know like players always respect other players' talents. I got to imagine Mahomes is probably looking at that and Kelce and going like, really? Nah, we're good without you. As good as he is. Anybody in this room or in that room, Donnie, where you are, want to see George Pickens on the Steelers 2025 opening day roster?
No.
I've all season, I've pretty much said that they should look into bringing the guy back, and within the last week or two, I'm on the other side.
I'm with you in that.
I think
take the teacher's pet away from Mike. Take the guy that he's obsessed with away from him so he can stop making excuses for him.
I don't even care about like being punitive for towards Mike anymore with this. I'm kind of on the side of the old school football guy who, yeah, there's a lot of things they could do better where Pickens probably would play better, like having a better quarterback, but that guy ain't walking through the door, and he's more valuable to you as a trade chip at this point. And certainly less of a headache once you trade him than he is currently on this
roster. About pecking orders or priorities regarding any individuals contractually. We're not there yet. And I don't know that that's going to transpire this week. We're just still assessing what transpired in 2024. Those are more 2025 things.
Mike Tomlin today, when asked about George Pickens getting a second contract. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Diontae Johnson was given a second contract by the Steelers, one of the few receivers. Didn't end well. He is out on the street again. Pink slip from the Houston Texans, the scuttlebutt in Houston. Johnson unhappy with the amount of playing time he received in Saturday's playoff win over the Chargers.
If you're scoring at home since last, league year started? So March 13th, I think it was. He started the league year technically on the Steelers, was traded to the Panthers, was then sent in a trade to the Ravens, was cut by the Ravens after being suspended, was picked up by the Houston Texans, another playoff team, and has now been jettisoned by the Texans. Can I get a fifth team for Diontae Johnson this year? Can we get five? How about he goes, I think here's what he needs to do, Donnie. I think we need to have him get picked up by a team that's currently playing in the divisional round, get activated, get pissed off.
Get cut by them. Just keep failing up.
Yeah, whoever lasts till the 8 conference title games, you got 4 teams to pick from. I guess if it's the Ravens, he can't, obviously. Or no, if he got cut, I guess theoretically he could, yeah. Then he's got to last until the Super Bowl. Who's left? And then in the Super Bowl, winning touchdown caught by Diontae Johnson for the Detroit Lions. Super Bowl MVP with 2 catches for 2 touchdowns, Diontae Johnson.
I'm sure the Tomlin stooges will look at this as more evidence that Tomlin gets the most out of his players based on the...
You mean nationally, like the Rich Eisens?
The wayward career of Diontae Johnson since he left the Steelers. And I'm guessing others will use this as proof that the Steelers will not be able to get much back in a George Pickens trade because the sins of these receivers post-Pittsburgh will get held against the Steelers in negotiation rounds. Well, you're trying to sell us a bill of goods here on a guy. We're going to get him, and he's going to turn into a monster, just like some of your other guys have. But it only takes one dumb team, and I think one stupid team will look at the talents of George Pickens and say, hey, we've got a better coach here. We've got a better quarterback. We've got a better offense. We put him in this, and he'll thrive.
Wouldn't that team still probably have to pay him because he'll just pout there?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
So if you know that George Pickens, you know, I looked at his valuation. What would you guess it is? I went and did the spot track thing where they try to put a number value on him.
$25 million?
A little lower, actually. 22. That ain't wide receiver one money.
They also have T. Higgins way under 30, so I think they're off on the wide receiver projected deals.
How off are they on Pickens? Like, projected deals is one thing, but like actual real value, like how far off is $22 million for a guy that does what he does, that comes with what he comes with?
I agree. I think in that case, it's probably closer to being right. Mike is in Coriopolis. He's on the Fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I haven't talked to you since the Pirates season.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for
Yeah, non-conversation, right?
Well, then you want to recap every Steelers game? We'll do week one through the playoff game.
Actually, you could do it in like two sentences, Mike. You could be like, it looked like a lot of other seasons, and then it looked like a lot of other playoff games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and and thanks for you guys pretty much covered what I wanted to cover with Pickens. But this example with Deontay Johnson for me just shows a professional response by a football team, whether it would be Houston or the Chiefs or even like the owner Kraft did there in New England recently, saying, hey, this is a public asset. I have a responsibility here and we got to move on. And we just unfortunately don't have that in this case. I can't imagine that any conduct of any nature like this would have existed when the old Mr. Rooney was the owner.
And thank you, Mike. And we had Mark Schlereth on Friday, and obviously Schlereth had his battles with Steelers fans this year because he was anti-Russell Wilson when the season started, and everyone wanted to rip Schlereth, and then eventually everyone came back around to agreeing with Mark.
Yeah, vindicated
but
in the
end. One thing he said about Pickens with us on Friday was he would have benched him and sat him down in the Cincinnati game, and that was without the knowledge that he showed up late for the Chiefs game.
Yeah, this gets worse and worse for Mike now that this is out there.
You compound the guy's lackadaisical, unprofessional response to coming back from injury in the Kansas City game, and then you stack on top of it the way he played against Cincinnati with the drops and the trying to fight fans and players continually having to go up to the guy and trying to get him to focus on his craft and get his head screwed on straight.
Yeah, there's been, I'll go back to what Will Graves said too, a good question. Like, the guy is now in NFL terms very much a veteran. You last even 3 years, you're a veteran. Why would there, like Will asked it a little bit more nicely, but why would there be any belief on the part of Tomlin or anyone else in that organization that he's going to change?
Lamar wasn't taken at the top of the draft. Hurts wasn't taken in the first round. I don't know that I necessarily agree with the question.
Donnie's Tomlin tidbit, this final one for the 2024 season, as Tomlin offered his own post-mortem on another Steelers season without a playoff win. Donnie, set that answer up. We didn't have the question attached to it. Explain the Tomlin tidbit that we just heard.
So Mike Tomlin was asked about the other quarterbacks, or I guess all of the remaining quarterbacks in the playoffs, and it was pointed out, do you think you guys need to be picking higher up in the draft to better your chances of getting a game-changing, great franchise quarterback? And he quickly did a good job of cherry-picking the two guys that were not picked at the very top of the draft. Lamar was the end of the first round in 2018, and Jalen Hurts was in the middle of the second round in 2020. But it's also fair to point out that every single other quarterback remaining was selected within the top 10. Now, yeah, some of those teams jumped up and traded to get those quarterbacks, but every single other quarterback left besides those two were selected in the top 10 of whatever draft they were part of.
So, feels relevant to point out that he took Chase Claypool in the year Hurts was drafted before Hurts.
Yeah, not to mention the two guys you
Terrell
picked in
Edmonds.
Those drafts sucked.
He had access to both of the quarterbacks he cited and decided, no, thanks, but no thanks.
And then we hear after the fact that they loved these guys.
Sure. They love Patrick Mahomes, too, I heard.
So I like the last thing Donnie said, though, about the trade-up. Because the two teams in the AFC that, well, I guess I should only say one, because Kansas City's won three Super Bowls and the Bills have won zero. But if I were ranking the quarterbacks in the AFC, my personal ranking would be Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, Allen 3, Jackson 4. Burrow's not in the playoffs, so I'll just stick with the two guys that I had 1-2. Both of those teams had good seasons and moved up in the draft. They didn't tank out. The Chiefs lost to the Steelers in the divisional round and then moved up to take Mahomes in the 2017 draft. And then the Bills went 9-7 in 2017 and moved up to take Allen in the 2018 draft. So I think as long as you have the conviction to do that, you don't have to take a step backwards to take two steps forward. You just have to identify the right quarterback and then have the balls to go up and get him. I think the Bills made two trades, actually, to get Allen. They had to move up twice to get him. And he was not looked at as the top quarterback in that draft. And Mahomes wasn't either.
Major risk.
Mitch Trubisky went ahead of him.
Deshaun Watson did too. No, or did he? Yeah, I thought he did. The Steelers, we know, only make aggressive trades up like that for off-ball inside linebackers who also happen to be very undersized.
Yeah. Well, that's a good rebuttal, I guess. It used to be that we'd say the only time they moved up in the draft was to take Hall of Fame players or Super Bowl MVPs. But then Devin Bush got in the way of that narrative.
They technically moved up to take Broderick Jones, but I'm the last.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'll be the last rat on that ship.
Eight quarterbacks left in the playoffs. Seven were first-round picks.
I felt part of his answer. I know what the question was, and it was about being bad. I just do feel like part of the answer that he gave was a defiance of the idea that it has to be like a top-flight pick. Hey, look at this guy, barely in the first round, and look at this guy, well into the second round. Yeah, that I hate that kind of statistical cherry-picking because 75% of the guys still playing were primo picks, including two guys who were literally number one overalls who got traded for one another.
That was Donnie's Tomlin tidbit. The Lions, though, do get credit for rehabilitating Goff's career because when he got traded, McVay was done with him and didn't think he could win a Super Bowl with him anymore.
And because the Cognoscenti all thought McVay was a boy genius who, if he couldn't get anything out of you, no one could.
And thought...
termed Goff like a one-year bridge that the Lions would have to eat before they found their real quarterback.
They thought Dan Campbell was just a meathead who talked about biting kneecaps and things of that nature.
So that's one other thing, though, with the Steelers in the pursuit of a quarterback by hook or crook, however they would go to get it. I'll be honest. With the current coaching staff, knowing Mike's tendencies and preferences, I don't think you can find a player who might be limited in certain ways but like still is a – like, for example – Burrow, I think, would be good just about anywhere because he's a pretty good athlete and he's very quick to process. But I think they have a pretty good offense there, like the scheme that's like good at identifying weaknesses and defenses. I think you'd have to get more of a Josh Allen type of player here, a guy whose physical talents are so overwhelming that he almost is incapable. He's game plan proof because I don't trust them to put a really good Ben Johnson style game plan and offense around a quarterback.
Not only that, but how about also just the offensive personnel around the guy? The teams that have lost to Mahomes in the last two Super Bowls haven't had first round quarterbacks. It's been Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts. But look at the players.
Primo rosters.
Exactly.
Both sides of the ball, really. Those are probably the two best rosters in the league that lost.
And so
to him.
Some of it is drafting. But also some of it is your quarterback is so cheap that you have now this windfall, this extra cash that you can invest in other places. And the Steelers had probably, if not the cheapest, one of the cheapest quarterback rooms in the entire league. And how many good players would you say they have offensively? The wide receiver is a head case. There's no other good wide receiver on the roster.
Good, useful players.
The backup running back is better than the starting running back.
Here's a game
who was
to
picked
play
in the first round.
Here's a game to play real quick.
Well, what are you going
to
say, Donnie?
I was going to say their best offensive player is the center they drafted in the second round.
How many of their starting 11 on offense this year? Let's assume for our purposes that you have to start Najee, but I think you could play this game with Warren. In their own division, take their starting 11 players on offense. How many of those guys would start if you made an all-division team? I'm not sure any of them. Linderbaum's better than Frazier. Burrow or Jackson is better than Russ. Derrick Henry is your starting running back. Chase is your starting wide receiver. Zay Flowers and Higgins both have a very good case to be there.
How about Jerry Jeudy?
Jerry Jeudy has a case to be there above Pickens. Tight end, you've got Mark Andrews at the bare minimum in Njoku. Isaiah Likely is a good backup tight end. Go across the offensive line. Is Dan Moore starting? Hell no.
No.
Zeus is, right? Orlando Brown Jr. or, you know, pick
Ronnie Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley might be a starter. Rosengarten's better than Broderick Jones at bare minimum. The point in the exercise is I knew where we would end up. Not one of their starting 11 on offense would make an all-division starting 11.
Maybe Sayamalu.
Who are the Browns guards when they're healthy, though? Betonio, is he their left guard?
Well, they weren't, though, this year.
Okay.
I still don't think he would.
Here's my point, though. You're probably, at best, you're going maybe 1 for 11, but probably 0 for 11.
Then you have all this money, in theory, to spend on players because you've got quarterbacks that this year were making a grand total of what? $6, $7 million?
Maybe the real indictment is if we did this for the defense that costs $137 million, how many of these guys on their starting 11 would make an all-division starting defense?
I think the Browns would have a couple of linemen, too. Conklin would be the right tackle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Both guards are Betonio and Wyatt Teller.
Had down years this year, but I mean, I'd still probably take either one of them.
I mean, how many guys on the defense would? I think that, like, we're talking about, like, roster composition here. I don't think Cam Hayward's making it.
What?
Is he? Is he better than Hendrickson and Garrett? I don't think he's not this year. He isn't.
That's a good point.
He isn't. Roquan Smith starting over Queen.
Yep.
We don't have to belabor the point here, but, like, Kyle Hamilton had a better year than Minka.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Elliott, maybe. Cam is the only one where I feel like comfortable. Yeah, Cam's starting on that team. That's it.
Justin's on the fan. Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call. Wanted to make a quick note. Even the other five teams beside us who are out of the playoffs, they all had first-round quarterbacks. So kind of just depicts that you need that position, a high value in the first round. But anyway, just want to talk about George Pickens. Frustrated. It's like deja vu all over again with these receivers. I just think it's Tomlin enabling them. I think he just needs to bite, like, harden down on him and, you know, see if he can get any reaction from him and if he doesn't want
to. They need to have the courage to just move on is what they need. At this point, like, I don't think you can discipline after the fact and say we're gonna finally show this guy we mean business.
And I also think it's hard for cool dad to become
tough
hard-ass
dad. Yeah. Once you establish what you're going to be, that's what you are to that player. And clearly he's more hard-ass dad to some of the guys on the team that he thinks either can handle it or he thinks aren't so important. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a guy that he doesn't think is essential maybe and you screw up, he'll staple some other player to the bench. I mean, didn't he staple Warren to the bench after he fumbled in a game?
Yeah, that's like punishing someone for a football mistake. I get what you're saying.
But George dropped a bunch of passes. I mean, he's never going to bench George for dropping passes. He could look, you know, like Butterfingers out there. But he
benched Broderick Jones in the middle of that game,
right,
where he had all those penalties.
Right. And
he makes an exception for George.
Well, say what you will about Broderick, who is not good, and I admit that. He acts like way more of a professional than Pickens does.
4-1-2, he's tried to get his head back in the game.
He's tried to be the guy saying, hey, come on, let's focus.